And we have spent, I don't know, Sister Ethel May, how long was we on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount? It was a long time, wasn't it? Amen. In 05, is that right? What's this, 08? Oh, boy. Well, what we're hoping, we'll stall around on this till Jesus comes, and then we won't have to worry about it. But I'm no hurry. Are you? Oh, you are? Well, I guess I'm the one that matters, amen, here. I'm going to take 8th chapter, and the 8th chapter of Matthew is Jesus comes down from the mountain. Okay, a couple years ago, we went up on this mountain, and the Lord sat down or established himself and called his disciples up to him, and then he began to expound a doctrine and a truth that was just beyond anything they'd ever heard. His terms, one of his favorite terms was, Moses said, but I say. Ooh, that's pulling rank right there now. Moses said, but I'll tell you what, it's like he said about Abraham, greater than Solomon. He said about Solomon, he said, greater than Solomon is here. How many knows that we have learned through these scriptures to know that Christ is preeminent over everybody else? He's the supreme Savior, the only Savior. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus. Amen. And so, as we closed out the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible said the people were astonished by his preaching. And how that he taught as having authority and not as the scribes. So, you know, a scribe was just someone that read the scriptures and studied the scriptures and gave their opinion about them. But they weren't anointed. Jesus was anointed, and he was the one. He was not only, amen, Christ human, but he was the Son of God. Amen. He was the Word incarnate. No wonder he could speak the Word with authority. Amen. It's kind of like when the boss comes on the job, you know, and everything's been going this way, and the big boss man comes down and changes everything. Amen. He's got the authority to do it. He signs the check. He's in charge. So when the boss steps on, amen, then everybody just... And that's the way the Son of God, he is the great supreme. Amen. And so he comes down. Now you say, well, what does this have to do with me? It's right here in this first verse, first two verses. It tells us, amen, what effect it has us to know the Son of God who can do anything. Now, when I pause like that, that's, you know, that's y'all supposed to say amen, right? I'm going to quit pausing because y'all leaving some blank space here. When he was come down from the mountain, when he was come down out of the mountain, great multitudes followed him. They had already heard his word. Have you heard any of the word of God that causes you to follow the Lord? You know, when I got saved, and I know you're the same way, when I got saved and heard the voice of God and heard him say, I forgive you, and I read his Bible, amen, it made me want to follow the Lord. Not to join some cult or some religious organization or some society clique. It made me want to follow him. Which way did he go? That's the way I want to go. How many feels with me this morning that Christ is no longer a mystery to this world? I believe everybody in this building knows what Christ was and what he said and what he would say about certain... How many knows that we do know what Jesus would do? Huh? Amen. The writer said we have the mind of Christ. We know his intent and his love and grace and his holiness. And we know which way he's going. It's not like a confusion. I just don't... I remember one time a preacher had a friend that I knew, and he was a preacher's son, and he had backslid. And he was trying to get back to the Lord, and all different kinds of voices was coming in. And I remember calling him on the phone, or he called me one, I couldn't remember. And he said these words that I'll never forget. He was under such stress. He says, "I just don't know what to believe anymore." Well, I knew by that probably he really hadn't surrendered back to the word of the Lord. Because if you know the word of the Lord, it's pretty clear cut what you ought to believe. That's right. And you know, this preacher, he got prayed through. He did. He got prayed through. Still saved today. He got prayed through, and he got over that. And he got to where he could discern between those voices telling him, "Oh, that's not, you don't need to do that. You don't have to go that way. This is not, that's not." But he got back to the Bible. Amen. And he heard the voice of the Lord. Well, when Jesus come out of the mountain, we'll not dwell on this Sermon on the Mount, that you go back to it, but it was wonderful. But now he comes down out of the mountain, and this teaching and this power that he talked about is now getting ready to be applied to lives that he comes in contact with. Now, brother, amen, you know, if the gospel was just a story like a history of Napoleon or Alexander the Great, that reading that story of Napoleon at Waterloo wouldn't save us at all. And there's not another story in the world, another bit of history in the world. You see, because the Bible is more than history. It's more than just a fact of an archaeologist digging that relates this Bible to the Dead Sea Scrolls or whatever's dug up. These words are spirit, and they are life. And when the Son of God came out of the mountain, amen, he didn't just tell them a way to live, but, brother, there was power in that way to live. And you're getting ready to see that right here. The multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. Now, think of that. What would make this leper, and, you know, obviously, Brother Kenny, that leper was not up there with that, on that mountain, probably. That leper's unclean. He's supposed to be separate from the crowd. Here's this leper that comes, follows probably afar off, and he cries out. And notice what the Bible said that he did when he looked at Christ. He knew who the Son of God was. He didn't just look out there and see a Jew with kind of a olive complexion and about 5 foot, ever what a Jew it was, about 5'10 or 11 or so or less, and look out there and say, "Well, I know him. That's Mary's son. They lived over in Nazareth town, and I know him." No, this leper looked at him, and in his heart he knew he was laying eyes on the Son of God, deity, all power, healing, virtue, a man that would have compassion on him. And the Bible said he worshiped. Before he asked him to do the first thing, he worshiped. How many understands worship this morning? How many understands when you worship the Lord? Do you ever go to church and not worship the Lord? Don't answer that question. Huh? Should we ever go to church? Should we wait till we get in church to worship the Lord? Huh? And I'm not talking about just, you know, being in a public place and walking in and says, "Well, hallelujah." No, that's not worshiping the Lord. That's just saying hallelujah. I'm talking about worship the Lord. The Bible said the Lord seeketh such to worship him. What do you mean seeketh such to worship him? To worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship him like he wants to be worshipped. And before we can worship him, we must know who he is. Huh? You know, to worship, can you imagine going out here, our new president-elect, can you imagine him going up to the inaugural and all them people worshiping him? Oh, come on, no way. Or when the other president lays down, you know, and he'll probably click his heels together and run to Texas. Huh? I would. Huh? I'd say, "Have my horse saddled. I'm through. I'm out of here." Huh? But can you imagine us all ever, and I've been down there. I've been down there to Crawford, Texas. I've been there. Drove down that road where he's ranching. I mean, it's out in the boonies. I'm telling you, he is in tall cotton now. That's right, in a few more weeks, 6 more weeks, he'll be in tall cotton. But can you imagine us going down there to Crawford and building a shrine to George W., going in there and worshiping him? No way. Can you imagine worshiping any creature? Can you imagine making a golden calf? Huh? Can you imagine throwing gold, getting earrings out and throwing them in a pot and boiling them down and out come a golden calf? I don't believe that story, you. I believe they molded that calf. Huh? But you know, people, they mold things to worship. And you know, they'll even get a god in their mind that they've imagined. It's a god after their own image. But you know, there is a true worship. And you know, this leper, when he laid eyes on the Son of God, and no doubt he had heard some of his words, and he felt the Spirit, and he knew that this was not a human man. This is God. He speaks with authority. He has an anointing. I heard about that dove that came down out of heaven. I heard about that Spirit and that voice. This is my beloved Son. I heard the witness of John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness. Amen. It said, this is the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. And this old leper put all of that together, and he made a statement. I believe he's the Son of God. And he worshiped. Well, that's really all we got to do to worship in here this morning. You say, well, things aren't going too good. The economy is down, and all the stuff I read in the paper. That's your problem right there. Huh? I'll tell you what, just the fact that how many knows that when the stock market tumbled or whatever it did, how many knows that Jesus Christ was still Jesus Christ? Huh? How many knows that November the 4th, when the election and it was tallied up, and whichever candidate, this or that, how many knows, no matter who won, that Jesus was still Jesus? Huh? And this leper came down, and I'm telling you, he had a need. And I've done opened it up to you this morning, but he had a need that he could not do anything about. I've had a few of those. I said, I have had a few of those myself. I have said, Lord, if you don't help me here, I'm not going to get any help because it's beyond me. That's the way that leper did. Amen. He said, I need some help. Amen. But I want you, before he ran out there and began to holler, Lord, help me, he worshiped him. How many thinks that's the first? How many knows the Lord's Prayer? Can you say it with me? How's it go? Our Father, which art in heaven, give me all these things that I've wrote down. Wait, that's the revised version. That ain't the way it goes. What does it say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the first thing in the Lord's Prayer that we acknowledge who he is and we worship him? I don't know if we're getting this or not. I'm trying. Amen. You know what this leper did? Before he did ask for anything, he acknowledged who he was. And then he began to worship him. Now let's not rush right on through this. But what do you think how did he worship him? Notice what he said, what it says here. He came, the leper worshiped him. I don't know. Let's just picture it in our mind before we go any further. What do you think he did? How do you think the worship was? Do you think it was a physical display or what? Let's just think about it. He may have run in on his knees. That's what the rich young ruler did. He came down, he humbled himself on his knees. I mean, how many, if you don't have arthritis, how many of you have bent your knees lately? How many's bent your knees this week? So, yeah, I bent mine. I slipped on some wet, went down. I'm not talking about falling down. I said, how many has bent your knee? And I know a lot of times praying, you know, on your knee, it just, you understand what I'm saying, a humbleness. You might lie down on the floor with your face on the floor. You may just get in the truck and lay your head over on the steering wheel. You may just sweep your way into the kitchen and lean on your broom handle. Anybody in this house understands what I'm talking about? And before you say, Lord, help me, you say, Lord, I love you. How many told the Lord you love him this week? Well, I'm asking some personal questions here, ain't it? How many of you have said, I mean, vocally, with your voice, Lord, I love you? You say, well, you don't know the trouble I got. Hey, try that first. Well, you just don't know how much trouble my husband's been giving me, my wife's been giving me. You understand what the job's been, the boss has been on my back. You don't understand my financial situation. Hey, look, hold it. Let's start all over. Let's start out with, Lord, I love you. You are my Lord. Without you, I wouldn't be anything. I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be saved. Wouldn't be sane. You may not say that, but I can't. I know. Wouldn't be sane. I wouldn't be able to go. Couldn't work my job. I wouldn't even be able to come out here where this boss could chew on me if you hadn't given me the strength to walk out here. I know I don't feel good today, Lord, but Lord, look at all them days I did feel good. Huh? And there's hope. Listen, how many thanks we ought to start out with worship? And you know, a lot of times people don't like a Pentecostal way to worship. They don't like a noise. The music's too loud. People clap their hands and actually even holler out sometimes. But they never complain about the ball game, going down there and you know, it's hooping and hollering and screaming, "Go Red Blazers!" or whatever. Huh? But then we come to church, and because the Son of God has redeemed us, hey, I've seen people set like they're in a morgue and then go right outside of the church. And somebody tell them the latest one, and they laugh their head off all the way to the house. I think we ought to get our emotions. You know, ain't wrong, nothing wrong to laugh, but, man, we come in church, there ought to be something going on in there to make us say, well, thank God. When's the last time you said, well, thank God? When's the last time you said, praise the Lord? When's the last time you said, thank you, Jesus? Well, I'm going to quit. See this nice clock up here? It says 11:35. Is that right? 25. Excuse me. Need glasses now. Is 11:25, is that what time y'all got? Huh? Get that sticker off of there. Yeah. It does cuckoo at 11:30. No, it doesn't. There's no cuckoo in that. There's a pretty chime in there. Has it been going off? Could y'all hear it? I didn't even been able to hear it. Oh, I cut it off. That's why. All right, listen to this right here, and I'm going to be done. There came a leper and worshipped him, saying, here's what the Lord, now look, this leper vocalized his worship. And what did he say? Now, don't you whip that baby now. Listen to this right here. He says, Lord, he worshipped him, saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. Anybody know what a Lord is? Huh? Lord. If I'm your Lord, then you do what I say. Huh? My Lord, my Master. Oh, we want to talk about him being our Savior. But he's not just our Savior. He's our Lord. He rules. He reigns in our life. And that's how he vocalized his worship, by submitting. How many things you can worship the Lord without living in control under the Son of God? No worship. Oh, but I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you. You heard Brother Ralph Cox tell about that lady that shot her husband, killed him, grabbed him up in her arms and said, I love him. I love him. I love him. Brother Ralph, you know how he does. He said, well, I'd rather have been loved a little less, live a little longer. That's the way the Lord feels when we come into church on Sunday mornings. That's the way the Lord feels. When we come in here and we say, oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And then go out there and live for the devil. We don't love the Lord if we live for the devil. We love the Lord and worship the Lord by the way we live our life. We live our life. He's the Lord and we are the servants. Can you say amen? And then notice what he said. He said, Lord, amen, if thou will. In other words, it's up to you. It's your will. I don't want any of it's not your will. But if you will it, you can do it. Hey man, come on now. How many knows that prayer is not just asking God to do what you will, but asking God to do what He will? Amen.
And so when we worship the Lord and we realize He's the Lord of all, I wish I could preach to you this morning. Amen. But this leper, when he came out of the mountain, he recognized that he was the Lord of his life. And he said, if you will, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. How many knows that the Son of God, amen, is still the master, amen, of everything in this world?